This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I have part 3 of chapter 13, A Vatican Ambassador, coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, part 3 of 5, the middle section. Our Vatican Ambassador BC is learning about a secret group called the Project while visiting their unknown base on the dark side of the moon. After this group invented the transspace drive, which let humanity easily jump between Earth and Mars orbits, the Project decided to keep going beyond Mars. Founder von Kilner, thought dead, is actually alive and well, or at least alive, out on a hidden asteroid base. Oh, and there are aliens. Who might be vampires? Is that right? We'll double-check on all this and learn more in Part 3 of Chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, wanted to remind you that you have about a week and a half left to take advantage of getting that free digital PDF graphic novel of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, through Drive-Thru Comics. You do so by clicking the link that's in the show notes or cutting and pasting that link, because that link is key. It takes you to the page where you get the free version, special discount, but it's free, of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, from Drive-Thru Comics. Pop it into your shopping cart, check out, and you're off and running with a free graphic novel. That is good for a limited time. There's a limited number of redemptions, and it's good for a limited time. You have until the 1st. So take advantage before November 1st, this month of October. Not a trick, it's a treat. A big thank you to my patrons, those of you who keep the podcast going. Man, it makes a big difference. It helps me to, you know, pay for hosting and make sure that the podcast is up and running each week. It makes a difference, as I say. And, I sometimes worry that I don't thank you enough as a patron. Many thanks. And if you want to become a patron, please do. You can do so at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can do so for $2, $5, or 10 bucks a month and help keep the podcast going. Well, speaking of keeping things going, we are going to get into part 3 of chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 13, Part 3, A Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Chris enters with food and breaks up the mood. He gives Anita and BC theirs, then sits down and begins to unwrap his own lunch. He stops and looks up at the other three when he realizes no one's talking. What's up? The Domo, Anita fills him in. Oh, the vampires. Lovely ghouls. Steven Spielberg would have been so disappointed. Chris sighs and then gets back to unwrapping his food. Who's that? Someone in the project? BC asks. He's an old movie maker, Chris says. Chris is an old movie buff, Anita explains. Close Encounters? C.E.T.? Chris asks BC. What? BC asks, at a loss. There are movies? Chris prods him. Sorry, don't watch them, BC tells Chris. Chris puts down the sandwich he was about to bite into. Spielberg thought we'd meet cute, even cuddly aliens. The Domo are more X-Files. You lost me there, too. X-Files, is that project lingo? BC asks him. That was a television show, Anita interjects. Chris is big on all that old sci-fi, she tells BC. Used to be big 100 years ago. Chris is a connoisseur of that crap. Hang around him long enough and he'll try to get you to watch some of it with him, she cautions BC. It's not crap, Chris says, defending himself and his interests. I'm sure those Domo like that old sci-fi, BC says dryly. Maybe they inspired that too, huh? So what the hell is that old sci-fi?
Sci-fi is science fiction, stories about the future, Dell says. It's quaint to see what they thought we'd be doing by now.
Wait until you meet one, Chris says to BC. BC is lost by the non sequitur. What? Wait until you meet a Domo. Just being with one is draining, like they're siphoning off your energy while you're with them. It feels like they're taking something from you. We don't know if that's intentional or not, Chris informs him. Something? BC asks. Don't listen to those two, Anita says. They're a couple of surprisingly superstitious babies for being supposed scientists.
Wah, 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 Chris mock cries.
Anita likes the Domo, don't you?
Del prods her. She glares back at him. She did call them greedy, nasty, blood-sucking, fat little bastards, BC says in her defense.
She gets along well with a couple of them, Del continues.
They seem to warm up to me. I do not like them at all, Anita insists.
Well, you do see the best in everyone, Chris quips.
How else could I stand to work with you? Anita shoots back. Chris tries to laugh and talk and drink his soda all at the same time. All he manages is a snort that sends soda shooting in a spray out of his nose. Everyone jumps at the sound and to avoid the spray.
Nice,
Del admonishes Chris. Did he get you? Anita asks BC. He looks down to see if he's been hit.
Good, no droplets of snot soda here.
I'm good, BC tells her.
Sorry,
Chris apologizes. He mops up his mess with some napkins.
May I?
Del asks. Go ahead, BC says with his mouth full of tuna sandwich. Sorry, my mouth is full.
For all their flaws, the Domo were the first aliens we met, Del gets back into his storytelling groove. We were using their old base. They grew curious as to who was operating on their old property, so they paid us a visit. It did not go well or smoothly at first.
Ha! That's putting it mildly, Chris says, having recovered from his snort. They were very, what would you call it, agitated, annoyed, pissed off, put out. They weren't happy someone was in there. Our presence was not welcome.
And we imprisoned the first Domo who appeared on the base, so we did well right from the start, too,
Del says to him. You imprisoned the first one you met? BC asks.
He looked almost human, and he wouldn't speak to us. We thought he was a human spy from somewhere local,
Chris says, trying to justify their actions.
We locked him up, so they sent a bunch more.
They have a planetary base not far from here, Del says. Close enough that reinforcements arrived very quickly. We calmed that situation down, thankfully, and then we began to get to know the Domo. We found out the Domo had been here for a while. The base was quite old, and they'd been on Earth in the past and blended in, he tells BC. The Domo are a highly adaptive species, Del explains. We know they were on Earth about 300 years ago. They've admitted as much to us. They adapted while here to look like us, to live among us undetected. They did look very human at one time, except for their mouths, Del says.
They have vertical smiles, Chris says, then bursts out laughing.
An old joke, Anita says. She reaches across the table to try to smack Chris. He leans back out of the way.
Their mouths move sort of sideways, Del explains.
Anita sits back down, shooting Chris the evil eye.
Are they still around? BC asks Del. Oh, they still exist, Chris speaks first. They're just not around here much anymore.
The project still has dealings with them, Anita tells BC. Just not here, she says, looking around the room to indicate the base they're in. Not on the moon.
Out at the asteroid base? BC asks.
Some. They've got another planet we go to most of the time now, the one I was mentioning. But let's not get too far ahead, Del says. Back in 94, we had just met the Domo. Once we ironed out our differences, we found we could share technology and both profit from it. It turned out we were actually ahead of the Domo in some ways. Our transspace drive, Del grins, was entirely new to them. Del smiles with pride. Never saw anything like it, they told us. That gave us leverage for negotiating with them.
You ask me, it was a good thing they had a reason to be nice to us. A different reason we were useful to the Domo. Other than as a protein source, I mean.
Chris jokes. He looks at his sandwich for emphasis before taking another bite himself.
BC swallows hard.
They eat us, too?
Chris is exaggerating, Anita assures BC. We don't have actual proof they do anything to us. They're just unpleasant.
And I hate watching their mouths move. It just looks wrong. But that doesn't make them evil. Greedy, nasty, blood-sucking, fat little bastards, yes, but not necessarily evil. We can work with them.
A little bit like the UTZ, BC jokes.
Everyone laughs.
They do drain your energy, though. I've felt it myself, Chris says. They are kind of like vampires.
Del clears his throat. That's where we were when you came back with the food and disturbed everything.
Del looks down at Chris.
Chris laughs.
Ooh, I'm hurt,
he says with sarcasm.
Can we move on? Del asks them all.
I thought you were moving on, BC says to Del. BC pops the last corner of his tuna sandwich into his mouth.
I'm trying to, Del says, sounding all put upon.
BC is trying to digest more than just his lunch. Okay, so let's see. You guys have a secret asteroid base, you've met aliens who are like vampires and imprisoned one, pissed them off, negotiated with them by giving them your transspace drive, adopted their tech to advance your technology beyond what the general public could imagine. That sound right? Are you taking it all in? Anita asks him.
It's a lot to absorb, BC admits.
Hey, could I go to the bathroom?
It'll be good to stretch my legs and think.
All three of them nod, and Anita says, sure.
Go out the door and to your left, down the hall, then take another left. The door is at the end of the hall,
Chris tells him. BC takes his time. By the time he gets back to the conference room, they've cleared the table. BC sits back down.
Let the briefing continue, BC says with a flourish.
Del cracks a half smile.
Very well. Since we're through eating, Anita suggested it might be all right to tell you about Dr. Kwan's theories on the Domo.
There's more to the Domo? BC asks.
Yes, more we've guessed at than they've told us. Dr. Kwan spent a great deal of time among the Domo on their nearby world. He made extensive observations.
He was your spy, BC figures out.
He was a scientist. Scientists observe,
Del states.
It's what we do,
Chris adds. Del gives him a look.
Just trying to help. Tell him about Kwan,
Chris says, laughing.
Kwan's evidence suggests that when the Domo came to Earth for the first time in what would have been about the 1600s, they probably did eat human flesh and drink human blood. In accounts of their travels to other worlds, Kwan found mention of them consuming the local protein sources to adapt to the local species. They take in the planet's native DNA and assimilate it, Del says. It stands to reason that the way they came to look like us
was by eating us, I get it, BC nods.
The Domo, of course, deny this, Del says. They admit to consuming DNA, but insist they can get it and did get it from plant life and food animals. Kwan's studies led him to believe that was simply impossible. He studied their adaptability to the extent he was allowed to by the Domo. For the Domo to adapt and become more human, they would have had to have consumed human DNA repeatedly, over a long period of time.
BC feels his stomach shift ever so slightly.
Damn! Vampires and flesh-eaters. And bears, oh my!
As they no longer need to adapt to look like us, there should be no reason for them to consume our flesh and blood now, even if Kwan's theory is right,
Del says by way of small reassurance.
They still drain your energy, Chris interjects.
So, why do you deal with them? BC asks.
We didn't know any of this, not at the start, Anita says.
Want to see a picture? She asks BC.
Sure.
Hold on. She activates some controls in the tabletop in front of her. A three-dimensional head appears in front of BC, making him jump.
Chris chuckles. Ugly bastards, aren't they?
Nice fangs, BC observes. Their mouth does go the wrong way, doesn't it? Kinda pointy-headed. Are they all bald like that?
Yes, none of them have hair, Del says. Not anymore. Some of the first Domo we met did, but they're long gone.
Ones who'd adapted in the past by chowing down on us? BC asks Del.
Probably,
Del confirms BC's deduction.
But you've got to understand, after our first misunderstandings, we thought we'd found an ally in the Domo. They helped us go to the stars.
How? You developed the transspace drive, BC asks.
Sure, but that was just the start. The Domo were very nice to the project, once they realized they weren't being exposed to the general public. Our transspace drive was faster than their faster-than-light drive, but their reactors and ship systems were far more advanced than ours. We pooled our resources. They helped us soup up our ships, and we helped them travel between their planets faster than they ever had before.
Planets? BC asks. The Domo control a handful of planets. They weren't a part of our galactic neighborhood, Anita fills BC in.
They brought some of us from the project to their homeworld, as they called it at the time. It turned out it was not their planet of origin, more like a new permanent base. The project set up an outpost there back in 95. Quan was on the original staff. I myself spent 2 years on the Domo homeworld.
You've been on another planet and another solar system? BC asks.
I've been to several planets, Mr. Campion. Although I wouldn't call them other solar systems, that's our sun's name. Better to call them star systems,
Del corrects him. I stand corrected, BC says.
The project built ships with both the Domo drive and our transspace drive. We used the Domo's drive to get to a system for the first time. It's still faster than light, after all. And thanks to the Domo, our ships have the shielding needed to withstand those speeds. They taught us how to manipulate gravity fields to create a safe pocket around the ship, as we went that fast. Once we got to a place, we could set the coordinates within the transspace drive to get back there, and jump easily back and forth. And the Domo gave us directions and star charts to find our way there. They helped us get to 20 different worlds. They introduced us to other alien races, more alien-looking than the Domo. Can you understand now why we first warmed up to the Domo?
Del asks BC. Sure, BC says. All the best toys and aliens, too.
You know, though, Chris cautions. Even though they look a little like us, the Domo are still utterly foreign, completely alien, and totally creepy. Thank you for your keen insight once again, Doctor.
Del dresses down Krish, voice dripping with sarcasm. How did you keep all of this a secret? BC asks.
Easy, Del explains. We worked out of the asteroid base. We were on distant worlds. We weren't here to give away any of our secrets.
But what about the military? BC protests. Didn't they check up on you?
You'd think so, admits Del. But they were satisfied with the little dribs and drabs of tech we'd dribble out to them. As far as they were concerned, we were just their little R&D labs on the moon.
As far as they still know, Anita says, bringing things into the present tense, she locks eyes with BC. That is all they know. Now you know more. Much more than they do. I'm not UTZ military, BC insists. I barely have any authority in the NCC. You're an ambassador, Anita says, slightly raising her voice. By default, BC answers. They don't need to know about the whole potential cardinal thing.
Kids? Del cuts them both off. I think Anita was just trying to let you know just how privileged this information is, Campion.
Believe me, I know, I get it, BC insists.
We've never opened up like this to anyone outside of the project before,
Del tells him.
Who knows, maybe it's time to let the rest of humanity know who else is out here in the neighborhood.
Why now? BC asks. Because of what I told you when I contacted you, Anita answers. We think an alien race may be responsible for the plague that's now killing humans on Earth, on Mars, on the Moon, and Earth orbit. Why would the Domo want to kill us? BC asks, confused. The others shake their heads. It's not the Domo, Anita says. The Domo introduced us to another race that we think are behind this.
As we traveled with the Domo, we began to notice they seemed to enjoy subjugating other races, most other races. They were nice enough to us, I guess, especially early on, but every other planet we went to, the Domo were in charge. Other aliens deferred to the Domo, all except for two, the Flayz and the Eldred.
The Flayz and the Eldred? BC asks.
Yes, we met them through the Domo. The Domo and Flayz treat each other as equals. The ones the Domo call the Eldred, they actually defer to,
Del says. We've only met the Eldred recently, Anita adds.
The Flayz we met right after we met the Domo, Del says.
The Flays were huntingly familiar, too, Krish says. They look like old sci-fi UFO aliens, all spidery-limbed, bony, with gray skin pulled kind of tight over their bones. But they're always in pressure suits, so it's hard to see for sure. Big heads, big eyes. More science fiction, BC asks.
Maybe not so much fiction, Del says. It turns out the Flays paid visits to Earth in the past, too. It was some of their runes that were found on the moon.
I knew that was true. They really did find alien artifacts on the moon here, didn't they? BC says, excited.
They did, Del nods. Flay's artifacts. They and the Domo had their fun with us. Before the Eldred interceded, as far as we can tell, the Flays followed the Domo here, visiting several times back in the 1900s, and messing with us humans.
Really? But you said these other aliens made them stop? BC asks.
I don't know that they made them stop. Somehow, just the Eldred knowing that the Flays and the Domo were meddling with our planet was enough to make them stop, from what I've heard.
Okay, something's bugging me, BC says. You spent 2 years on the Domo's planet, right, Del? BC asks. How is it you're okay, then, with all their energy draining and vampiring and all? BC challenges him.
I'm okay now, Del says with emphasis. I suffered some serious depression and exhaustion and poor health after my stint on their base world. No one could ever stay there longer than 2 years, although Quan tried to. After his suicide, we kept the staff at the base in a constant state of turnover.
He committed suicide? BC asks.
He did, Del says. His head drops for a moment. He was a colleague and a good friend.
I'm sorry, BC says, but with all that, you still have a base there?
Actually, we don't. No, not like we used to. Not as large a one, anyway, Del tells him. After we began to explore beyond the original 20 worlds the Domo introduced us to, we found that the Domo's base planet wasn't central to the worlds we were discovering for ourselves.
We have 4 of our own interstellar outposts, Krish says proudly. Rigel 4, Cat's Eye, Dimwit, and Crankshaft. Nice names, BC cracks.
Dimwit and Crankshaft?
2 of the names are ours, Krish says. Dimwit and Crankshaft are approximations of the old Domo names for the planets.
Ah, I get it, BC says. Nice names. So you guys in this project actually have 5 bases besides this one? How many people work for your project, anyway?
About 2,000, Anita says. Only about 400 work in this solar system. There's a handful here. Most work out on the asteroid. The other bases have staffs of between 400 and 500, she says.
BC shakes his head. I'm sorry, but I gotta tell you, that shit is really hard to believe.
She's gotta be exaggerating those numbers.
It's been 14 years, BC, Anita protests. We've had time to recruit.
BC is still shaking his head. Fine. So, what about this other race of aliens you mentioned, the Eldred? Are they called that because they're old?
I guess they are the oldest race we've met, Anita says. But their name is again an approximation of a Domo word, the name they call them. It sounds to us like they're saying Eldred. Funny, though, when we say Eldred back to them, they insist it isn't the same word at all.
That's the thing about alien languages. They're so alien, Krish muses out loud.
Del and Anita just look at him.
What? He says. Jeez.
We're just beginning to get to know the Eldred, Anita tells BC. They seemed almost like they were afraid of us when we first met them.
They did react strangely, Del admits.
We're beginning to think that we don't know them at all, Anita admits. We think it was the Eldred who infected the delegations at the peace conference. BC sits in stunned silence. Anita has a, there, I said it out loud, look on her face.
That was Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 13, Part 3, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Projects and outposts in Eldred, oh my. And the Eldred are responsible for humanity's plague? Well, there's obviously more to this story, so we'll learn how the Eldred may have infected us with this plague as we get into part 4 of 5 next time, as chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you to patrons of Glow in the Dark Radio, helping to support this podcast and my science fiction efforts. Much appreciated. You help me keep the lights on, as it were. $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you're given, it makes a difference. And if you want to get in on that and help support the podcast, of course, there's no obligation, but you can do so at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you've got about 10 days, about a week and a half, to take advantage of getting the free Vatican Assassin graphic novel in digital form. It's a PDF, and it's free through drivethroughcomics.com. So look for that DriveThruComics link in the show notes. The discount, the special discount that makes it free, is tied to that link. So be sure you're using that link either by following it from the show notes or cutting and pasting it into a browser of some kind so you can get yourself the free version of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel. And that is all for this week. We're going to get into part 4 of 5 of chapter 13 on our next episode. I'm your host, your writer and narrator, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.